So today we celebrate one of the three feasts of the Holy Cross. And it's called the Procession of the Cross. And what we understand is that we, as mankind in general, are fallen. We, from the very beginning of the fall, as it's recorded in the first few chapters of Genesis, so we have fallen away from our God, and instead of keeping the obediences that God had given Adam and Eve, they acted according to their own will and were separated from God. And there's a long history about this separation and about how our merciful Lord on high would sent messages and sent prophecies and so on to the children of Israel in the hope that the children of Israel would awaken to the need for salvation, and that they would turn away from darkness of pride and self-indulgence and the passions, and to embrace salvation and embrace our Lord in all of his glory. And so here today we have the procession of the cross, and we are blessed to not only have the beautiful bronze icon of the cross, but there's a little opal there, and we actually have a small piece of the true cross that stands before us. And basically, what happens is that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ came to heal, as it were, the separation between man and God, and to unite us once again to his divine glory and to the glory of God. And this, of course, was accomplished through great suffering. And the cross, of course, symbolizes this suffering, this tremendous suffering. And I think I'm sure there are many other ways one can die, but to die hanging on the cross with the humiliation that it implies, and the jeering that though the enemies of God spread forth and pronounced in condemnation against our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And according to some, the suffering of the cross is because as one hangs on the cross, they become weaker and weaker, and they're unable to hold themselves up, and it causes suffocation. So it's a long and difficult death. In reality, the tradition tells us that our Lord only suffered for 3 hours, which was remarkable to hear. But what he gave to us is his example. And his example was to always pursue and identify with the truth. What is the truth? What is true? And to always act in love, so that we would receive from him the gift of love, that we see his example. For he died for us as an act of love, to save us, to reunite us to our Creator, and to give us the opportunity of fulfillment, true fulfillment in this life. And so it is that our Lord came for this. And if we read in the epistles, we have beautiful instructions about the cross. And so what we are instructed to do is to live by the cross. And that means that we need to look into ourselves and to study ourselves, but not just in a self-study, but rather to, I suppose, peer into the divinely revealed words of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and through these words as sort of, you might say, lenses, we look at ourselves, and we try to be honest with ourselves and try to see how it is that we fail, You know, do we respond to anger with anger, or do we respond to anger with peacefulness? And even if we are so blessed to respond to anger with love, do we, when we are tempted by our passions, do we try to suppress the passions? And actually, not really, I think suppressing is not the right word, but do we try to moderate our passions and to bring them into accord with the love of Christ? And this is, of course, a huge part of our being, because we are attacked from within. Again and again, we each and every day we have angry thoughts and vile thoughts, and we're tempted by imagery that's impure, and it attracts us. It tries to bring us into sinfulness. And what we need to do is we need to be very self-aware, and we need to moderate these attacks with prayer. And I think that over and over again, we know about the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And when we do this, we're taking the cross upon ourselves in reality. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to take our poor and fallen mind that is captivated by the passions, and we're trying to focus it upon our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And today we're trying to focus our mind and the depths of our heart upon our Savior on the cross, and to embrace and to some degree understand his sacrifice for us. For he died upon the cross and rose again. And of course, his rising again is the ultimate victory, that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that he then shed his light upon the whole world as a great fountain of salvation and grace, and a great light that shines into our hearts and minds. And so it is, if we embrace the cross, as it were, the cross in our inner lives, that is, if we recognize our pride, and we recognize our passions, and we recognize how they manifest themselves in our lives, if we do this, and we do it in a dialogue, as it were, a dialogue of prayer with our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, so then he shines his light upon us, and he heals us. And this is an experience that the saints have had, to be healed by our Lord, and to have the light of Christ that they see in the beginning externally, little by little by little, cleanse their minds and hearts. And we see, like in, say, Seraphim of Sarov, and of course our Saint John the Russian, of all the great saints, they saw the light, they embraced the light, they entered into the task of killing, as it were, bringing to cessation of their passions, and the light then began to dwell in them, and from them radiated out upon the faithful to whom that knew them and came to them for love. And so this is our task, to embrace the cross. And the cross is the struggle against our passions. I think we all know, we know when we've had bursts of anger that were really scandalous. And we know that we've had imagery passing through our minds and our hearts that is also scandalous and defiles us. And I think we can all fill in the gaps here, namely that there are so many, many temptations. And what happens is that we give in to the temptations. This is the great tragedy of our condition, that the temptations come before us and we give in to them. And in that moment where we give in, it is possible to cry out to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, say, Lord, help me, lift me up, give me strength, turn my mind away from these distractions and these temptations, and give me the life that you promised. Shine your light upon me, help me. And if we were to, if we could do this and cry out in this way, little by little by little, our Lord would take our hand, as he does the hand of a parent does the hand of a child, and lead us. And each and every day, we would find the attacks continue, and they continue to the end. All the greatest saints, they achieved sanctity, but in the background were the temptations. And the temptations, in a sense, are necessary to propel us forward, so that we have the desire and the will to pursue the love of our God and to pursue communion with him. And as we know, we live in a world right now that it's so filled with temptations at every level that it's very difficult to remain spiritually continent, you know, pure, and to have our gaze continuously dwell upon our Lord, and not only upon our Lord, but upon those whom we meet, so that the light of Christ can shine in us upon those and others. And it's very difficult, and it's very, very difficult. There are some saints who I'm sure would. Who have in the past already, long before we were as degraded as we are now, you know, who really saw the difficulties as potentially an end, really, of civilization as we know it. And so here we are today before the cross, and we have to pray to our Lord and ask him to really to comprehend, to understand, and to act upon what he teaches us, and to pick up our cross, which means to struggle against all of those things that degrade our person and all of those things that are blasphemous against God. And if we were to do that, there would be a dramatic change. And this is why we have all the saints around us, who is saying to us, this is possible. It's possible. Sanctification is possible. It's a reality and a possibility. And you can embrace it. But it is a big struggle. There's no question. And the distractions are remarkable. And there's no question about that. But brothers and sisters in Christ our God, on this day that we venerate the cross and the procession of the cross, let us try to renew our vow, as it were, to follow our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, to hear his words and to absorb them into the depths of our heart through prayer and contemplation, and to that he would come to us in such a way that we really do begin to understand. And as we understand, so then we can act. And as we act, so then we will be sanctified, and the love of God will shine through our hearts and minds upon those whom we love in our families and our friends and our communities and people that we work with and people that we see. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.